دي على رسول الكريم. أما بعد، الحمد لله. Tonight is the 23rd of December in the year 2020. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 17th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the noble chief of Al-Khazraj, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu. And I'm now discussing the glorious Battle of Badr. And I explained the very important fact, and that is that the battle was not intended by either the Prophet or the unbelievers. It was literally being put in place by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And a clear proof of this, apart from what I mentioned yesterday, is a verse in the Quran. In Surah Al-Anfal, Surah 8, verse 7 and 8, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he says the translation, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Behold, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you one of the two parties, that it should be yours. You wished that the one unharmed or unarmed should be yours, i.e. the caravan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed to justify the truth according to his words and to cut off the roots of the unbelievers, i.e. by ordaining a decisive battle. لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْتَلَ الْبَاطِلَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ, that he may justify the truth and prove falsehood false, distasteful though it be to the criminals. So if you look at these two beautiful verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that he promised the believers one of the two parties. So one party was the caravan, either you will have the caravan of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, or you will have to deal with the unbelievers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions the desires of the companions. He goes, you wished the caravan, but I wished a decisive battle. Then look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْتِلَ الْبَاطِلَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. He says haq twice, that he may justify the truth. Then he says batil twice, وَيُبْتِلَ الْبَاطِلَ, and prove falsehood false, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ, though the criminals do not like this. So there's the proof. If they had intended from Al-Madinah immediately to deal with the unbelievers, what does this verse mean? So the Quran itself is telling you that there was a process taking place. Also, in Bukhari, in his Sahih, number 3951, Ka'ab ibn Malik, he said, radiyallahu, I never remained behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from any expedition which he undertook, except two, the Battle of Tabuk and the Battle of Badr. As far as the Battle of Badr was concerned, no one was blamed for remaining behind, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims did not set out for war, but merely to intercept the caravan of the Quraysh. However, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made them confront their enemies without them intending to do so. So you got the Quran testifying, which is enough. You got Sahih Bukhari mentioning it. Now just to add this, Ka'ab ibn Malik, he said, I fought in every campaign with the Prophet except two, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One was Badr and the other was Tabuk. And why is that interesting? Because he's that famous Sahaba that delayed in that last campaign. And when the Prophet finally came back, he told the truth and he was boycotted for 50 days. It's that same Sahaba narrating this, radiyallahu anhu. But he said about Badr here in Sahih Bukhari, no one was to be blamed. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ and the companions did not go for war. They went for the caravan of the Quraysh. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who determined the battle. And a third proof, in Surah Al-Anfal, Surah 8, verse 42, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, وَلَوْ تَوَاءَتُمْ لَخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِي الْمِيعَادِ وَلَكِنْ لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا. even if you had made a mutual appointment to meet, you would certainly have failed in the appointment. But you met that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might accomplish a matter already ordained. Allahu Akbar. So look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. This is called the hypothetical, meaning that Qadr is written. And you get these non-Muslims and they always say different timelines, different meaning. It's just to them it's theoretical. But Allah the Almighty and Glorious knows everything. He knows all the possible alternatives. And he mentions one here. He goes, if you, that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and the unbelievers had even tried to end up on the battlefield, even attempted it, it wouldn't have happened. Think about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you would never have fought your family on the plain of Badr. But I decreed it. And look what he says, that I might accomplish a matter already written. Meaning, the battle's over with in my sight. It's already done. But it's going to happen because I have willed it. Now, why is this important? Because Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was asked, when did you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he says, I realized from a very young age that I intend to do something and how often I don't do it. Something stops me. And I realized that the one who's stopping me has to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nullification of determination, he said. Because that's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how many times has that happened to us? In our lives, you intend something 100%, what stops you? The Qadr, Allah Ta'ala is dominant over everything. And Badr was just like that. So now, with that, why have I mentioned that at length? Because the Rawafid accused the companions of cowardice. Because they never wanted to fight. They were basically bottling it from leaving Al-Madinah to fight the unbelieving Quraysh. And the response is no. The Quran again and again and the Sunnah testifies there was never an intention for battle. So now let's return to the matter at hand. News of the march of the believers reached Abu Sufyan. So picture the scene. The Prophet set out from Al-Madinah. So that's one part of the equation. Abu Sufyan is with his caravan. Now we're turning to Abu Sufyan. We're with him now. He's got news that the Prophet's coming out to go for this caravan. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He thus immediately sent a swift messenger back to Makkah to inform the unbelieving Quraysh to quickly send reinforcements to help him. The Quraysh immediately responded. 1,000 fully armed warriors or so were dispatched to the caravan's rescue. Have you understood? Right? So Abu Sufyan, very intelligent man, radiallahu. He must have had a spy network. He goes, they're coming. So what does he do? First, he evades their path, which I'm going to mention. Then he sends a very swift rider. He goes, get to Makkah quick. Tell them their caravan's in danger. So when the messenger came, imagine, ripped his shirt, he goes, your caravan. And then Abu Jahl raises an army very quickly. 1,000 strong forces coming. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu did not delay in waiting for the army. He thereupon exerted his utmost caution and skill in resisting the Muslims and escaping their reach. So he did two things. First, he sent the emergency SOS to the unbelievers. That's done. But now, he's going to bypass the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's going to try to get around him. In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 342-3 of the New English Translation, Ibn Kathir, Seerah, volume 2, page 264-5 of the English Translation, Ibn Ishaq relates, rahmatullah alayh, Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu led the caravan cautiously ahead to the well and asked Majdi ibn Amr, have you seen anyone? Majdi replied, I saw no one suspicious, but I saw two riders who dismounted over that hill. They took some water in his skin and then they left. So Abu Sufyan is trying to work out where the Prophet is. So he sees a man that he recognizes, Majdi. And he goes, have you seen anything strange in these spots? He goes, nothing. But I did see two men, two riders, and they took some water and they left. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, with his incredible foresight, made his way to where the two riders had dismounted. He picked up some droppings of their camels, he broke it up, and he found it contained date stones. He thereupon said, I swear this is from the feet of Yathrib al-Madina. He then hurried back to his men, struck his camel to direct it away from the road, and headed towards the sea coast, leaving Badr to his left, moving off at top speed. Thinking he had saved his caravan, Abu Sufyan then sent a second messenger to the Quraysh. You came out to do battle in order to protect your caravan, people and wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now saved these. Return. There's no need for battle. So let's break all this down. So Abu Sufyan, he goes and look how brilliant a mind he's got, military mind. He goes to the place and he sees camel dung. When he breaks it, he sees date stones. And where are dates from? Al-Madinah. So he goes, they're Muhammad's men. So straight away, he does a complete U-turn. Goes to the sea coasts. And obviously, Allah Ta'ala allowed him to bypass the Prophet. When he realizes his caravan safe, look how noble he was. He didn't want family to fight family for no reason. He sent another messenger. Go stop the army. Because everything's safe. Caravan, family, nothing's happened. Go back. The unbelieving force of the Quraysh received the message and they breathed a sigh of relief and they decided to return. For who in their right minds would want to engage in combat with one's own family? Think about that. You know, you're not fighting strangers. You're going to be fighting your father, your son, your uncle, your brother, your nephew. Who wants to go into battle? So when that messenger came, the unbelieving Quraysh thought, fantastic. He goes, no, yes, let's go straight back. But what happened? In Tabari, in his tafsir, 13-579, is Hassan Ibn Ishaq Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 343 of the New English Translation. Ibn Kathir, Seerah, volume 2, page 265 of the English Translation. Ibn Ishaq, he relates, rahmatullah alayh, Abu Jahl was defiant. He goes, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not return until we reach Badr. We will stay there for 3 days, slaughter camels, eat and drink wine, and the entertainers will play music for us. The Bedouins will get to hear of our journey and of our gathering, and they will always respect us for it. Hence, let us proceed without delay. So what happened? All of them wanted to go back. But what did the Quran say? I'm going to make it happen. So one man, the Fir'aun of the Ummah, Abu Jahl, he goes, what? He goes, no, we're going forward. He goes, this is the time to show Muhammad a lesson, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he goes, all the Arabs will hear about this. And he goes, we will forever be remembered. And he was. Those, look how interesting. Why do you think the Prophet called him the Fir'aun, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Just like the accursed Fir'aun of old sent his forces to destruction, those followed in his unholy footsteps, the Fir'aun of this Ummah, the accursed Abu Jahl. The Prophet didn't just give titles for no reason. You know, why is he called Fir'aun? If you look at that, you're thinking, exactly the same as Bani. They were trying to go back. He go, no, go. Astaghfirullah. Meanwhile, let's go back to the Prophet's camp now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meanwhile, our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got the news of the turn of events and the unbelievers' army's approach. So now think about this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew that the caravan was safe. Think about that. So he's thinking, why are they still coming forward? Have you understood? Because the caravan's safe. So he realized some shaitan's done this, Abu Jahl. But now, problem. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at his men and he realized they had not come out prepared for the full-scale battle. If this was not all, the force consisted mostly of the blessed Ansar, who has not as yet pledged allegiance they would fight side by side with him against the unbelievers outside Al-Madinah. Now think about that. 313 men with him. Had they come for battle? No. For instance, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sharing a camel with two of the Sahaba, Ali and Abu Lubaba. Is that how you go to battle? Three of you share a camel. So the Prophet looks, and what does he see? He sees the Sahaba. Now you have to explain this. People just don't know what planet they are, right? How many Sahaba were they?
13.
Who were the majority?
Ansar.
With regards to the numbers, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiyallahu anhu, 330 Muslims participated in the Battle of Badr. 76 were from the Muhajirin. Only 76. Radiyallahu ta'ala. This is in Ahmad al-Bidayah, volume 3, page 269. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 329 of the New English Translation. So what's the problem? The problem is, go back to the Pledge of Aqaba. The Ansar said, we will defend you in our city. They had not given a pledge to defend him outside the city. So what's the problem? 237 Badris, radiyallahu ta'ala, were from the Ansar. Around three quarters of the entire force. Ibn Ishaq clarified, rahmatullah alayh, the Ansar were the majority. When they had given him allegiance at Aqaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are free of responsibility for you until you reach our territory. When you join us, you will be under our protection. We will protect you as we do our sons and women. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was therefore apprehensive that they would feel obliged to help him only against enemies attacking him in Al-Madinah, and that they had no duty to proceed against an enemy beyond their lands. This is in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 340 of the New English Translation, Ibn Kathir Seerah, volume 2, page 260 of the English Translation. There's the problem. So now, if the Ansar had said this, were they sinning? Ya Rasulullah, we didn't come out for battle. And secondly, we have not given pledge to you that we would fight outside the city walls. On both those counts, they could walk away. They've not disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they've not disobeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our beloved messenger wanted to know their view. So what happened? So this is recorded in Nasa'i in his Sunan al-Kubra 6-334, Ahmed in his Musnad, Ibn Hibban 7-109, Al-Bidayah volume 3 page 263, Sahih. Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 3, page 145-6 of the English translation. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 525 of the Old English translation. Anas radiyallahu anhu relates, he asked his men to voice their opinions. Abu Bakr spoke, radiyallahu anhu. He gave good advice. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, then arose. He also gave excellent advice. One of the Ansar then said, O Ansar, Rasulullah wants to know your opinion. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just stop in the report. Look how sublime his character was. He didn't go direct to them. He could have said, O Ansar, I know full well you haven't given pledge. He did it in a beautiful way. He said, I want to hear your opinions. The Ansar didn't click. They thought, right, let the sheikhs talk first. Abu Bakr gets up, the Ansar looking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and look how strange, the Prophet didn't say anything. Umar gets up, the Ansar looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they clicked, and one of them said, he wants us to speak, he wants to know our opinion. Thereupon some of the Ansar said, proceed, go forward with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for we are certainly with you. We certainly will not say to you what the Bani Israel said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And they recited the same verse as Miqdad. Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse 24. Audhi billahi min shaitan rajim. فَذَهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَاهُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. You and your Lord go and fight together. We will sit and watch. Rather we say, you and your Lord fight together and we will fight along with you. By him who has sent you with the truth, if you were to take us even to Barak al-Ghimah a distant place towards Yemen. We will still fight with you side by side until you reach it. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So this is a Sahih Hadith in Nasai in Imam Ahmad's Muslim. So again, the Ansar, they weren't duty bound at all. And with one voice, imagine. Now why did they repeat what Miqdad said? Because it pleased the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Miqdad is Muhajirun. He wanted to know what the Ansar were thinking. And the Ansar repeated his words to please the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they, look what they said. Even if you go to Yemen, you travel for weeks, we're still going to go with you. And then they even said, which I'll mention, if you ask us to throw ourselves into the sea, we will do this. So now this report, does it mention who spoke? No. All it says is some of the Ansar said this. According to another report, it was the chief of the Aus, Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, who had said these words. So not Sa'd ibn Ubad, the other Sa'd. There was Sa'd ibn Mu'ad. And where is this recorded? In Tabarani in his Kabir, number 4056. Hafiz ibn al-Athir in his Al-Qamul 2-18. Tabari in his Tafsir 13-400. Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Sira, page 340-1 of the New English Translation. Ibn Kathir, Sira, volume 2, page 260 of the English Translation. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 527-8 of the Old English Translation. Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 3, page 145 of the English Translation, relate similar. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, he said, radiyallahu, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you want our opinion, Ya Rasulullah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, yes indeed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad then said, radiyallahu, we believe in you. We have attested to you. We bear witness whatever has been brought by you is true. We have made a covenant for this. We have pledged to listen to you, obey you. Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do whatever you intend to do, for we are with you. By the one who has sent you with the truth, if you present before us the sea and you jump into that, we will all certainly jump in it along with you. Indeed, not a single person amongst us will keep behind. We do not dislike to face our enemy tomorrow. We will fight in the battle bravely. We are true at the time of war. Possibly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might show such an act from us in the battle due to which your eyes would be cooled. Thus now set out with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah was greatly pleased with the words of Sa'd. He thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now proceed and keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you one of the two parties. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as though I am seeing the places where some of the persons of the nation, i.e. the Makkans, will be killed. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, the chief of Aus, look at the words he said. He basically said, we have no doubt you are Rasulullah. We have given our pledge to you. And then he said, whatever you intend, Ya Rasulullah, we're ready. If you jump into the sea, all 237 of us will jump in with you. Now what's interesting about that? If an Amir, there was an incident in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, and an expedition went out, and the Amir got angry. So he told them, light a fire. They lit a fire, and then the Amir goes, now jump into the fire. So the Mujahids, they looked at each other. They goes, we were our whole life we're trying to escape from the fire. But then the Amir just afterwards calmed down because I was only joking. But then when they mentioned this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if you had jumped into the fire, you would never have come out. Meaning, you only obey the creation as long as you do not disobey the Creator. He is the Amir, but if he's asking you to do the haram, you don't listen to him. But then the scholars say, however, if Rasulullah told them to jump into the fire, it's farad. Right? So now somebody goes, but where's the proof of that? Here. The Prophet jumps into the sea. Are we allowed to commit suicide? Right? It's forbidden. But if the Prophet, because you go, we're following. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is duty bound to say, no, you can't do that. Only listen to me if I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That shows that he was always obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people say he made mistakes. who corrected it, committee of scholars, right? Right, so Rasulullah is protected, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sahaba goes, we're going with you. And then look what they said, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. He goes, you will see, because you've never seen us on the battlefield. Because you will see tomorrow how we are on the battlefield. And who knows, maybe you'll see something that will please your eyes. He goes, proceed. There's nothing to worry about. And the Prophet ﷺ was greatly pleased. Then look how interesting. Because Allah Ta'ala has promised you the two parties, one of the two, Quran. Then he said, I can see the places where some of the persons are going to be killed. There's another report in Sahih Muslim. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he goes, I went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he started pointing. He goes, so and so is going to be killed here. And Umar goes, I memorized it. I memorized that spot. Then he goes, you walk to another spot. He goes, so and so is going to be killed here. So he goes, when I memorized these spots, he goes, the battle took place. And subhanallah, he goes, exactly where the Prophet mentioned, they lay dead. Now think about that. Even if you try to do that, you planned it. Like, I want you to drop dead there, I want you to drop dead there. Think, even if you plan it, I'm going to be a bit, right? You know, oh, you're a meter, I told you to be on the X marks the spot. How did the Prophet know that? Meaning that wherever the person falls, it's written. Allah Ta'ala already knows. So look how much comfort Allah Ta'ala was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because they're already doomed. And the Sahaba knew this before the battle. The Prophet told them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, just to add this, was it Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad or was it Sa'ad ibn Ubadah who said these words? In another flawless report, it was no other than the venerable chief of Al-Khazraj, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, who spoke. So now think about this. What were the references I gave for the previous report? No, Bukhari is a puncture, right? Tabarani. Right, Tabari ibn Hisham ibn Katir Sira. Now I'm going to give you the reference for Sa'ad ibn Ubad. Sahih Muslim, number 1779. Mishkat, volume 4, number 106, in the chapter on his miracles, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ahmad ibn Asakir ibn Abi Hatim ibn Mardawi, Ganzal Umal, volume 5, page 273. Al Bidayah, volume 3, page 263. Hayat al Sahaba, volume 2, page 61-2 of the New English Translation. Anas relates, radiyallahu. Rasulullah asked for advice, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they heard the approach of Abu Sufyan, and Sa'ad ibn Ubadah rose and said, now what did he say? Radiyallahu. Because Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by him in whose hand is my soul, if you were to now command us to plunge our animals into the sea, we would do so without hesitation. Similarly, if you were to command us to drive them as vigorously as possible to Barak al-Ghimad, i.e. in Yemen, we would do so, thus proceed without any fear on our part. So stop in the report. What's strange? Exactly the same words. Right? Was it Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad who said this? Was Sa'ad ibn Ubadah just repeating what Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad said? The report continues. Thereupon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the people together until they arrived at Badr. He thereupon said, this is the place of destruction of so-and-so. And he placed his hand upon the ground saying, here and here. Thus, subhanallah, none of them missed the very place where he had placed his hand, which I mentioned. So now, there's a problem here. In terms of authenticity, which hadith is stronger? Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad or Sa'ad ibn Ubadah? Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, because that's in Sahih Muslim. Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad's in Tabarani. The scholars who have recorded the ghazwa, the military campaigns of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have looked into these reports. And I'm going to mention tomorrow what they've said about it. But simply put, some have said both were there. Others have said no, only one was there. But a narrator got confused. And we'll discuss that more tomorrow. What is the more stronger view with regards to the matter? And the other thing I should have mentioned is that these companions who Allah Ta'ala chose for the campaign, 313 to 350, why did he choose three quarters the Ansar? Think about that. You know, if it was up to us, and somebody goes, the greatest battle of all time is going to take place, you'd say, 95% Muhajirun. Put some Ansar in there for blessings. Right? And then you go, right. MashaAllah. Why did you think that? And then he goes, well, obviously, Muhajirun, they're the great early Makkans. They went through torture, tremendous hardship, boycott, migrations. With all respect to the Ansar, they just recently embraced Islam. So then you go, well, then you know better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you go, astaghfirullah, what are you saying, brother? Because you said 5% Ansar, Allah Ta'ala goes 75% Ansar. So straight away, what's Allah Ta'ala telling you? You need to study their lives. I've chose three quarter Badris Ansar. Does Allah Ta'ala make mistakes? And yeah, look how sad, when you talk about Badr or any battles, stay away Muhajirun, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Zubair, what about the Ansar? Oh, yeah, they made numbers up. They made numbers up. In Badr, they were three quarters of the army. And the guy gets big, right? And what's amazing is, the Prophet didn't choose them. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at how the build-up was. Allah the Almighty and Glorious chose them. As if to say, nobody can speak about these people. Think about that. If anybody speaks ill of the Badris, who are they really speaking ill about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So somebody goes to you, I've got a problem with this Badri. You can turn around and say, brother, look, you might as well say this. You got a problem with the one that Allah ta'ala chose. When he chose these men, he knew who he was choosing. All Muslims will agree. Yes. Then how can you speak ill of them? So notes, lessons of belief can be taken from Badr as well, not just the battle itself. But you have to go through it slowly. And also the greatness of Abu Sufyan, how he evaded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, subhanAllah. He was very upset after the battle, Abu Sufyan. He goes, why did he take them to their death? Abu Jahl. But then he goes, oh, he was fond of leadership. So Abu Sufyan was very upset with Abu Jahl because he did a stupid thing going forward. In other words, I would not have gone forward, but he did. Because it was that leadership that caused it. But really, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going back to what the Quran says. Subhanallah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات والواصل بالحق والواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم